Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us His grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of His kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Amen. If you observed over the years, there would have been a question in your heart when we talk about new creation, especially in relation with the experiences that happened in the Old Testament. Alright? Especially with experiences that what happened in the Old Testament. For instance, if you heard that Moses parted the Red Sea and that Elijah did whatsoever he did in the Old Testament in terms of calling down fire, literal fire from heaven, and Elisha breaking the law of options, where we got that Archimedes principle from. And can go on. Mention all the miracles in the Old Testament, if you can remember. Joshua making the sun to stand still. You know, there's some preacher that says, that's not what the Bible means in the original. It's where God would do a miracle that you wonder whether the Bible wrote it in the original. If you have doubt about God, you know, when you read book too much, you will not hear God made the sun to stand still. It's impossible. It's not possible. When the Bible says God made the sun to stand still, there is no original to it. That's what it meant. Huh? It's like you people have not seen this place in the Bible before. The way some of you are looking at me. What part of scripture is that? Let's read again. One to go. So the sun. Is that not? Is there an original to this? In the original, it is not the sun standing still. It is the goddess of the sun that's too still. It's so hard to prove rubbish. The Bible said the sun what? Stood still. You know God did that, isn't it? Are you people here? He made the sun to stand still so that somebody that was banking on the old covenant, you know, he trusted God banking on the old covenant. You know, they had the impetus to trust God because they sacrificed a lamb. And by the blood of the lamb, their sins were what? Atoned for. Every once in a year. Hallelujah. That gave them the impetus to call themselves the righteousness of God. And from that perspective, they trusted God. To even have the impetus to say, God, if you are good to us and wants us to win, let the sun stand still. It's too still. Look at the crazy faith in the Old Testament. So you see all of these things now. Some people have a problem. What's the problem? That some young people will just come in the New Testament and say, they are greater than Elijah and Joshua and Elisha, right? And Moses. Do not be asking, what have they done that they are saying they are greater? Alright? Because they think God created human beings to just be on the earth and be behaving like avatar. How many of you have watched Avatar before? You know how they use fire, right? Avatar was what ability did he have? Huh? He would just do the air. He would just carry the air. The way pastors do sometimes, right? Hallelujah to Jesus. Have you watched Ben 10? I heard yes, sir. Plenty in this church. We have a lot of young people. Airbender, firebender, earthbender, waterbender. So they think Christianity is a display of who get power pass. So they feel like if we are New Testament, then if Moses parted the Red Sea, we should look for something bigger than the Red Sea. For instance, now you cannot be in Benue and claim to be greater than Moses. Have you parted River Benue before? You know, that's how they think. How can somebody call Elijah the least in the kingdom? In fact, is God now there against? Because Jesus said the least. These are the very words of Jesus. And if you have a problem with it, there's something wrong with the state of your heart. Are you here? Is that brother in church? Is he sleeping? He's not looking at me. Hallelujah to Jesus. They are telling us, and Bible said, of all men born of women, that there is none greater than who? Meaning Jesus, from where he stood, going back in the Old Testament, he said, no man is greater than John the Baptist. Meaning, even in the Old Testament, Elijah is not the greatest. You know, some of us are saying, how? What did John the Baptist do? I don't think the Bible felt like it was important to tell you all the bending skis John the Baptist displayed. Now, I'm sure there were miracles in the life of ministry of John the Baptist. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Not even Jesus did the Bible capture all of the miracles. Are you here? The Bible says if it did capture all of Jesus' miracles, there would be no space. Jesus, in fact, I had one miracle Jesus did that is not captured in the Bible. Should I tell you? They say the Hebrew guy said one time Jesus came there and there was a situation. The guy was beaten by a snake and the families were crying. So Jesus just came there. I think the guy was half dead or dead or something. And when he came there, Jesus said, he called for the snake. The snake came. He commanded the snake to die. The snake died. He told the boy to stand up and walk. Now, it's a story I heard. If you think I'm wrong, it's a story I heard. And I'm just you. Because some people are like, I don't agree. Me too, if you don't agree, there's no problem. Because I heard it. Hallelujah. You know, some people like arguments. Life is not hard. If you don't agree, I agree. So let's leave that one. That's why we have to concentrate on the Bible. Hallelujah to Jesus. Yes, I heard that. That was one of the miracles he did. In fact, some of you would have heard this one, that he molded bed. That one has gone far. That Jesus molded bed. That he just spoke. The bird just said to pigeon and started flying. He can do all things. But now some of you do chai. Meaning they don't put us inside bottle. Jesus can do all things. You know, some people think that's what Christianity should be. Do you know if somebody is in our time now, say in the name of Jesus, you're not carrying this rubber, for instance. Rubber, have legs and walk. He start walking. He say, hey, power. Power no be powder. Am I in any way saying neglect the power of God? No, no. If you try that, you are in big trouble. Are you listening to me? But many people think the reason why we have to be better than the Old Testament folk is when we show greater display of God's power. And why should it be greater? Whatever they did, we should do double. Do you know even Jesus had that problem in his generation? He came and was shouting, he's God. The Pharisees, they looked at him. Remember what Paul said about the Pharisees in 1 Corinthians 1. He said the Jews, the Pharisees, they desire what? A sign. He said, but the Greeks, wisdom. Meaning to convince the Jews, you need to bring signs to them. He said, but for the Greeks, they don't care about your signs. You can do anything, they'll tell you it's a coincidence. They want wisdom. You must use wisdom to prove that there is God for them. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So as a Christian, don't just grow.
pray that God should help you with dunamis, steer dunamis within you, to just do like this and thing, or do like that thing. Pray for wisdom. That's what makes you a complete Christian. And that's why the Bible says Jesus came as power and what? Wisdom. Balance that. And that's how God wants Christians to be. So the Jews told Jesus, if you are truly the Son of God, listen to what they said, show us a greater sign. That's what they said. Show us a what? Greater sign. Meaning they had seen many signs and they are not saying Jesus did not show some signs. And they are indirectly telling Jesus, what you have shown are even smaller signs. Meaning, how can Moses come and do these things? Elijah come and do this thing, and you are coming to do just these things. Show us a what? Greater sign. And Jesus was wondering. I'm sure Jesus was like, what do you want to see? Should I create reality from nothing? Should I just start doing things unnecessarily? I mean, you expect me to just sit down and say, okay, Elijah, call down fire. Now I'm going to call down rain and fire at the same time. Come! Is that what you want to see? There was a point, they even told Jesus, call down fire, listen, like Elijah did. Like Elijah did. If Jesus had pride, he would have said, oh, you guys are thinking I'm joking, right? You think I'm joking? Who the hell is Elijah? Before Elijah was, before they even thought of giving birth to him, in fact, I put him in his mother's womb. And he would have looked at heaven, fire, water. But the Bible said he rebuked them. He rebuked them. He rebuked them. And listen, what Elijah did in his time was cool because there was no knowledge, sufficient knowledge. What did he do? He called down fire to eat up some certain people. I know some of you are wondering now, because it's a practice in probably where you are coming from. They still call down fire to eat up people. Like, what the heck is this pastor saying? Ask yourself a question. Why did Jesus not do what Elijah did, if it was okay? The Bible said Jesus rebuked them and said these words to them. Don't you know the manner of spirits that you have? He said, don't you know the kind of spirit that you have? He's not saying spirit there simply means character, mindset, mentality. He's not saying they had the spirit of the devil in their days to call down fire to eat up those false prophets. But he was saying their mentality and character were not to the apex of how the mentality and character of the supposed human being in the heart of God should be. Are you listening to me? That's what Jesus was saying indirectly for him to reject doing what Elijah did. Exactly what Elijah did. If it was necessary for fire to come down, it would have come down. Jesus was in a boat. Now, before we even got to when he was in a boat, the Bible said, he told Peter, let's go to the other side. Peter did not see canoe. They started walking on water. When Jesus was walking on water, Peter shouted, Master, this must be a spirit. It's not you. Now, if it's truly you that we have eaten together, touch you, you bath, you go to the toilet, if it's you that I'm seeing here, Jesus, then me too, like you, let me walk on the water. And Jesus said, to prove that it is the same Jesus who eats with you, laugh with you, play with you, that you are seeing walking right now, you too, ordinary you too, walk. The Bible said Peter started walking on the same water. But of course, he has some doubt because he was wondering, I'm a mere human being. Are we together? How can I walk on water? He remembered Archimedes' principle, the law of Arcturus, everything, physics, you know? And as he was walking, when there was a small wind that blew the water and caused some little shaking, the Bible said he started sinking because he focused on the situation. Are we together? He focused on the... That's how the devil is. When the Lord said, you are perfect, walk as a perfect. You begin to sink in the problem. Are you people here tonight? Say, I'm perfect. And no matter the situation the devil creates, I will still walk on those impossible realities. I'll walk on them. I'll walk on the waters. All of a sudden, his eyes sinking. And Jesus reached out to him. He helped him to walk, continue walking. But Jesus really reaching out to him was not the way Jesus wanted things to be. I always use this to explain grace. So forgive me, I'll just be traveling in different areas, but we'll arrive. So as we're traveling, we'll sit down and eat mango and sit down and eat sugar cane. But we'll arrive. Are we together?
Yes,
some sort of. Some people, that's how they are. Like a movie I watched today, early afternoon, or early towards afternoon. I just decided to watch the movie. And is it Back to Church? I mean, whatsoever. I forgot the title. But because he was a pastor and it was about ministry, I decided to watch. And the man was doing so well, so powerful, so anointed, a bishop. I think Bishop Peterson, if I remember. And some sort of, he had a congregation, which is impossible for both blacks and whites. You know, they were worshiping in the same church. Impossible. Almost impossible in the U.S. That means he was doing so well. And all of a sudden, one of his uncle died. After his father has died and mother has died. And he was so disturbed. He now said, of course, the uncle was a drug dealer. And the uncle wanted him, because of his influence, to come and write and help him get out of jail. But the pastor said, the bishop said, he wouldn't do that. That since they say he should serve another 6 years, he will serve it so that he will learn his lessons. And as about 76, the uncle still said, the bishop still said, when you are 76, I will still come and lead you to Christ if you are ready to. But I cannot write that they should remove it. So he then died some sort of. So he felt so bad. And while he was thinking in the midnight, the devil started disturbing him. You get what I'm trying to say? You know, because he was so emotional. And the devil told him, he said, you are wondering if your brother will go to hell. He heard a voice. That was a devil. The devil now said, everybody is saved. Everybody. I wish I had those two scriptures I quoted. It sounded like it. Maybe we can even get it. Is it 1 John 2:1? Let me see it briefly. Give me the literal version, NKJV. We'll come back here. I want you to see how the devil works. 1 John. It said, my little children, these things I write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have what? Next part of scripture. And he is what? Some of you are just doing like you did not hear that word. You did not see that word. He is the what? The what? Oh, Sonny and Ola are two hypocrites. See what they're there? He is the what? Okay. You know what that means? We know in our mind, right? It means that Naim pay for our sin. Naim be this thing for our sin. You understand? And not for us only, but for what? This is where the devil used and got this guy. You know what his interpretation of this scripture is now? That God has paid not only for our sins as Christians, but for the sins of the whole world, so everybody is saved. Look at it literally. Does it not sound like what I'm saying? Give me the NLT's rendition. I want to use the exact words I saw when I was reading it on the screen. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins. And not only for our sins, but the sins of the world. So he said, this is my conclusion. God has paid for the sins of the whole world, and everybody right now, everywhere, is saved. So the church began to murmur. What has happened to this preacher? But how did the devil speak to him audibly? How did he hear the devil? He said he heard the voice of God. His assistant came and said, sir, I have been with you for years. It's not the voice of God you heard. This is not you. You heard the voice of the devil. He told the assistant, you dare, blah, 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 blah. The assistant so much respect him, so he was even scared to say this. He had to say this at the tail when everything has become worse and people left and he gave up. He said, sir, that's not the voice of God. And he had to leave. The whole church shrinked into like 15. Even the keyboardists that said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, wrote a letter one day and left. Because he became emotional. He sat there and said, my father died, and my uncle did not know Jesus. Well, God said, my uncle, no, God will not. God will not. So what is his analogy? He said, me like this, I have a child and she's in fire. I will not allow her board in fire. I will remove her from fire. That's how God is. But remember, it is when you are born again that you are called a son of the living God. For as many as have what? Believed in his name. To them he has given the what? The rights to be called what? The son. So if people don't even hear the gospel, they don't have what it takes to be born again and become sons of the living God. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? But see how the devil wanted to mess up his life and his ministry by one error. I have not finished the movie, so I didn't know how it ended. But I left at this part. Because I don't know how to finish movies. If I watch it, my Matisse, it's forward, 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 forward. How many of you are like that? Let me see the end. Did he die? So she didn't allow me forward, so I just left it like that. When I go home now, forward, well, I'll just hear what she said, and I'm cool. Hallelujah to Jesus. Do you know that's how the devil strengthens encounters? I was selling someone in my office not too long. That's how he strengthens encounters. All of you looking at me with your beautiful eyes, long hair, short ears, long nose. I hope you know that you are not just a mere mortal. You are so used to Okpoga and Zagzakibiam that I will tell you this is difficult to believe. Listen, you are not more of an Idoma man, Idoma woman than a glory man, kingdom woman. You are first a kingdom man before an Idoma man. Your thief nature is not stronger than your kingdom nature. It's just that you are more aware and glued to your thief nature than your kingdom nature. God gave birth to all of you. God created all of you seated here. All of you seated here, God is your original father that put you into your mother's womb. Did you get what I said? I know it's confusing. He said, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I had known you. God knew you before he put you there. Meaning you have already arrived before you enter and became somebody in this world. You were somebody in the realm of the spirit yet. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. So what is happening today is self-discovery. And if they give you a wrong discovery about yourself, you have wrong experiences upon the face of the earth. The sad news is that most of us, it's not God that encountered us first when we're giving birth to in this world. We had a lot of perspective, heard a lot of perspective, learned a lot of perspective about ourselves in this world. From our families, from our neighbors, from our schools. They gave us a lot of wrong perspective about ourselves. And that's what we have been running with over the years. That's why God coming to talk to us now, he's sounding strange to us. The one that created us now, his voice is strange. His voice is very strange. When he tells us this is you, you haven't doubted yourself. Because for many years, you didn't see yourself like that. If you tell everybody in this church that you are perfect now, there'll be chaos. Because over the years, you've heard songs that suggest to you you are not perfect. They were louder in your minds. They were everywhere. They were more popular. Are you listening? Everybody, 99% of people believe they can't be perfect. How will only you come out from the crowd and say you are perfect? And somehow one young, slim, long preacher stands up from nowhere and says, hey, you are perfect as your father in heaven is perfect. Then there is chaos. You know, I never knew that I would come to a point in my life and ministry that people would castigate me for teaching that we are perfect. I mean, I've had people, seen people online insult my, I saw it in one platform. There's a lady that manages a page. She posted a video where I said, a child of God has no weakness. And people said, you are mad. I was seeing stupid. You are out of your mind. And also somebody wrote false preacher. That means if I had said a child of God can have some weakness, I would have been able to relate with them more. They would have been happy with me. Because I spoke from their level. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? But I sounded too odd. Not because I say a child of God has, it's okay for a child of God to have plenty of mistakes and sin and fornicate. That's not what I said. I say a child of God has no mistake. He's born of God. And they got offended. I never knew a time would come that a false prophet will be called a false prophet because they say a child of God should not sin and has no probability to sin him. I mean, a young child of 15 thinks she cannot be perfect. Who told her that? Not just her parents or the, but the surrounding environment. She grew up to see that people are not perfect. She heard people shouting, "We are not perfect." And so she agreed to herself that she can never be what? Perfect. Even poverty. Why do you think people are poor? Everybody grows up from different environments. There are some children, they are 15, they know that they are very rich. And they are saying they are rich. Meanwhile, there are others, they are just 12. From 9, they already joke with Amajekpa. Pa, ko, 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 ko. They are saying it. Because as they grew up, the parents always tell them, no forget where you come from. Your family no get. If you do anything, you are on your own. You no get for your family. As they grew up, they saw evidence they don't have. The father always said these words, "I don't have." The boy grew up looking at his dad, telling the mom every time, "I don't have." Money for me, "I don't have." School fees, "I don't have." Anytime the mom asks for something, it's always chaos, quarrel. So the boy grew up knowing that his dad is poor. So if they say, "What home do you come from?" "A poor home." Is it not interesting that most of us here, we come from a poor home? How did we know we are poor? We saw we are poor. Our parents said we are poor. Everything we talk about was poverty. The surrounding environment, nobody spoke about riches. We all said we're poor. And poor people like poor people. If you observe, poor people like to live around poor people. Why do you think everybody in that street is poor? I'm not trying to castigate poor people. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? They like people they can relate with. Do you understand? Some of you now, if you want to go to Abuja, is Maraba you may end up living because your father has a friend there. That's how some of you live in Maraba. Yeah, live in Maraba because they call it, "Oh, I don't see one." "Oh, yeah, I don't see one space." So. "I don't see one space." And he said, "Ah." But meanwhile, there was one in around Asokoro at that time that you just needed to add like 500,000 to get that piece of land. But I said, "No, I want to be where my friends are. So in case there are meetings and the rest, we can easily meet." Are you guys following what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. We're taught wrong pictures. Hallelujah. They brought a book for me one time in the office. A ministry sent it to me as a thank you for attending one of their conference. So as I opened the book, somehow I don't know how God led me to that page. The man of God now said, "You have to understand that you are like Christ, not in the aspect of sin. That you are perfect like Jesus does not mean you can live above sin like him. It doesn't cover that aspect." So I told him, "Take your book." That's what I told. I think it was you. I said, "Take this book. Return it or throw it away." I meant it. I said, "I don't want to ever set my eyes on that book." I was avoiding anything that can alter my belief. I said, "Take it far away from me. I don't want to ever set my eyes on that book. Show it away from my office." Why? And he sounded so humble. He looked so humble. But those words are not the words of the Holy Spirit. Are you listening to me? And you must understand, for a long period of time, it has been a war of words. He came to Eve. And Eve said, "My husband said, God said, we should not eat from this wrong tree, else we will die. The devil now said, you will die, but no problem. Eat, you will die. Not true, you will die. He didn't say that. He sounded like he was for God. He said, you will not truly die. He said, but your eyes, he interpreted what God said to mean another thing. He said, the only thing that will happen is that your eyes will be open. You now start seeing and understanding like God. I can break that thing in a very different dimension tonight. It says you will start seeing and what? Understanding like God. I just got a light of that thing better today. Let me show you. Open Hebrews. It's popular. 5 from 12. Do you know the goal? One of the goal of God, or the major goal of God for the new man, is that he sees from his perspective. Is that man sees from his perspective. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? See, for instance, the prophecy of the new man. Firstly, let's go to the book of Ezekiel to see the prophecy of the new man. Let's go to the prophecy of Ezekiel. Ezekiel prophesied about the new man, right? Ezekiel 36 and 26. Let's see the prophecy. Alright? He said, maybe from verse 25, if it does better, you know, beginning for us. Ooh, okay. Next part of scripture, 26. It then says, I will give you a new heart and put a what? New spirit within you. He said, I will take the heart of what? And give you a what? Next part of scripture. I hope I'm in the right place. Continue. I will what? And cause you to walk. Alright? And you will keep my judgment and do them. Beautiful. But I've seen what I'm looking for. Jeremiah 31, 33. This is one of the prophecies, but this is more detailed. Let's read together. One, two, go. You see, he said, but this is a new covenant. This is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds. This is one of the prophecy of the new man. He will put what? The law in their minds and write it on their heart. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. Meaning God is like, I want to raise a new kind of people. A people that will not look at the tablets of stone to see the 10 commandments that have been given to them, because it's more like a limitation. Alright, you can't just sit down. You know, life is very ambiguous. Alright, you travel every day, you go to school, you go to work. 10 commandments does not cover all of the sins in the whole world. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Because imagine, how do you, the 10 commandments teach you how to talk to your boss? Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? There's a way you may talk to your boss now, since it's not captured within the parameters of the 10 commandments, you may feel like you are cool. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? For instance, 10 commandments did not say thou shalt not smoke. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Are you people here in church? Yes, 10 commandments did not say thou shalt not let me say something quite tricky. Yes, sing worldly song. Right? Mention things that 10 commandments did not say now. That shall not draw tattoo. That shall not drink alcohol. 10 commandments did not say something like that. That shall not take Igbo. Or Aspen. I was hearing one Hausa song. They said they've repented. Now they are taking they repent from suing tuba daga burkutu. Is it burkutu? They said burkutu zua Pepsi. Meaning they've left burkutu, now they are taking Pepsi. And now they've stopped Igbo, they are now taking Aspen. So 10 commandments, making it look like taking Aspen is a lesser sin than taking Igbo. I mean, they are all the same. Are we together? In case you sell Aspen, you are a sinner. Hallelujah to Jesus. You are not happy what I just said? Eh? Do you have uncles that say Aspen here? Benson? Rotmas? Hey, Pastor, how do you know this thing? Why will I not know it? Pastor Peter said Don Simon. There's a drink like that. It's alcohol. Don Simon. Wow. I wonder how in all the name in this world is my name they choose to use for. They would have used Don Edward. Hallelujah to Jesus. It would have even rhymed my Don Ed. But all right. Amen. So the Bible did not cover all of those things in the book of Exodus. The one the angel wrote, Igbo was not inside. Whatever, hookup was not inside. Did you get what I'm trying to say? Fraud. Yahoo was not inside. Yahoo Plus was not inside. Now, meanwhile, Moses now saw that the angel of the Lord that gave the Ten Commandments, you know it's an angel that gave. I hope people know it's an angel that gave. Galatians 3, laws that were given by angels. Because the angels was in charge. Thou shalt set your people, your angels guard over us. The angels were in charge of the people. So they gave them the laws because they stood in the stead of God. Do you get what I'm trying to explain to you? Alright? Now, Moses saw that the angel did not cover all of the sins. Now, Moses knew all these things. It's not like that's what the Bible says. Moses knew the ways of God in that time, not the ways of God entirely, the ways of God in that time. He knew he was communing with an angel, not God. And that's why I say, show me your face. I'm tired of seeing you as an angel. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? But the people felt like everything that was happening was just God and Moses. Moses knew he was seeing an angel. Are we together? So Moses wrote other 300 commandments. 300 and more. Because he see that the angels did not cover all of the syllables. So Moses added many. For instance, one of the sin in the Old Testament is not to talk against your father. No, you can't shout on your father. It was considered the same penalty for the same sin of witchcraft. Maybe if your father talk and you do your mind, if they catch you, they'll stone you to death. It was a taboo. You know, I was in New Garage checking my car. One mechanic young boy, there was an old man that was complaining they stole his tire. So he now coincidentally found a tire with the young mechanics. So while he got the tire and was complaining to us, I was see, now they steal my tire. Now one said, one man like that. Then the young boy got offended at the old man. Guess what he did? He took one small screwdriver. Came to the man, if you talk to me, I go choke you. I go okay, talk. I talk. The man was talking. Like, I kept my phone. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. One of my friends would say, oh my God, God. I said, what the heck did I just see? It's a taboo. My whole system went, but I said, Jesus, I was scared for that young boy. God can strike you dead. What did he just do? He was pointing the old man. That was a very old man. On his head. If you talk to me, I go choke you. I say, okay, that madam is God. I just. Back at him again. He's a Hausa boy. I say, what have you taken to get this to this realm of foolishness? And I ask him, no matter what this man does, you have no right to try this. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to Jesus. And that was a sin in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they will not just kill you normally for that young boy. Have you seen where cultists kill their fellow cultists? They will grind your skull. Because that was a taboo. To even point. You did not just shout. You pointed. And dared to chuck knife. So Moses covered a lot. Because there were many sins. And if Moses was in our days, he would have written more laws. Except that Jesus would have come. So he would have not written. But imagine Jesus not come and Moses was in our days. Oh my God. And he's watching Facebook every day. All these Agege boys there, man. Agege girls and the rest. Moses would have written law. If you see a man put pink lips, kill him. If you see a boy walk like this, stone him to death. He would have written a lot of laws. But get the point now. God looking at everything in the New Testament, he said, no, this is not how I want my people to live. So you see, people that will now look at the 300, they will not see their sin there. Look at the 10, they will not see their sin. They will say, flesh single choke this night. Our sin no did there. They did not write, thou shalt not go to club. And Moses probably have not discovered there was club. So they'll go and fled. And be hiding it from Moses. The day Moses discovered, they'll just go, club don't end. So for instance, now when God saw all of these things, God said, no, I'll create a new covenant with my people. What will happen is that I'll put my laws in their hearts. No one knows to teach them what is, given that scripture in Hebrews, no one needs to teach them what is wrong from what is right. It's because I'll put my law in their heart. And now give me that scripture first before the other one. The one that says, if there was no need, maybe some of you will know it. What's that scripture? It said, if the first covenant was perfect, Hebrews what? 8:7. Beautiful. Let's read it together. Hebrews 8:7. It's confirming this to an extent. Now, Google the other one that says, I'll put my laws in their heart. No one will need to teach them what is wrong. I think it's around 7 there about. Hebrews 7. It says, for if the first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Let's see it in another rendition. The Amplified rendition. I want everybody to read. Want to go. For if the first covenant had been faultless. Now, I don't still like this rendition. Give me in the NLT. NLT. It's still faultless. TBT. It's been a while we touched that guy. Oh my God. Still faultless. The message. If the first plan, the old covenant, had worked out, a second wouldn't have been needed. Meaning the first one did not work out. Remember, the first one was not created by God. The first covenant was hinged on blood of lambs and etc. Remember? Now see what Jesus said. If you think we're lying, NKJV, Hebrews 10 and 5. See what God said. Hebrews 10 and 5. He said, we're all going to read. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Go. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice. Stop. Meaning, all of those sacrifices and offerings in the Old Testament, God never desired it. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? Jesus is the one saying this. He now said, but what did God desire? He said, a body out there prepared for me. Not because God wanted the blood of Jesus to be sprinkling everywhere. I say, hey, I like blood. Mm-mm. He wanted Jesus to come and take upon himself the nature of man, that old nature of sin of man, and hung it back to the tree. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Of course, Romans 6 tells us that. The Amplified rendition. See exactly what he did. That's why I said, but a body you prepared for me. That old body of sin. He said, we know that our old self, with our human nature without the Holy Spirit, was what? Nailed to the cross with him. In order that our what? Body of sin might be what? So that we will no longer be what? Slaves to sin. You see that? He took that old body of sin, hung it back to the cross. Meaning that's what he wore when he entered the earth. That was the body that was prepared for him. Are you listening to me? So, in the New Testament, we are not supposed to have laws on anywhere, written on tablets of stone, nowhere, blah, blah, blah. In fact, we're not supposed to be supervising members. I said, okay, Joyce lives in Tewasak, but Mr. Aaron, if you go towards Tewasak, but and find Joyce talking with any boy, snap her, and send the picture to us. You know, some churches supervise members. Any girl you see somewhere talking with, snap. There are some churches like that. They have committee that go and check If you go and serve somewhere, they will travel and come and look and vet you and know what is happening around you. There's a lady they see, they invite her to the cabinet for a meeting. Did he ever talk to you in a way you don't like? Blah, blah, blah. If you want to do ministry like that, you will suffer as a pastor. When I was raising my pastors many years ago, prophetically I could tell one or two things, even through phones. One time I told myself something. I said, if I continue like this, I may die early. So they were shocked. If I come, in fast, I said, bring your phones. When I'm done with the meeting, I said, carry your phones. Nothing can consign me again. I didn't care. Because if I keep on looking, I may not be able to look every time. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And you know the bad thing with it is that when you even see a fault, the Holy Spirit will still say, help them. So now I didn't want to even be seeing faults. I just want to be helping. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Because whether you see a bad thing or not, you cannot do anything. I don't know that you understand what I'm trying to explain. Remember the story of Jonah. God told him, I have a plan for those people. Go and preach to them. I will treat their fuck up this time. Jonah was now going. He said, God, all this thing you are doing me, you are cajoling me to go there. I know you. I know you, God. If I go now and talk, once if they just cry, you say, break their head. You will not break. People are this, they have seen you finish. Scatter them. Well, if we go now, if they just come and just small tears, you start saying we should leave everybody. He said, I will not go anywhere. Did you read your Bible? Jonah said he was not going. How people have mind in the Old Testament, though? And that time, they hear God's voice. Jonah, I am God. Now, God speaks to us by the Holy Spirit, so we don't need to. Because if God is speaking to all of us physically now, there will be jam-packed. There will be trouble. Imagine you are just walking, God is speaking to me, he's speaking to us. No, I will be hearing your own, you'll be hearing my own. Would you be hearing? He said, you sure say maybe your own are here? No. Talk will choke. You understand? So, now he speaks to us by the Holy Spirit. Are we together? Jonah heard God. The Bible says he even departed from the presence of God. He departed. He entered canoe. They were going to another place. He joined them. He said, I say, in this canoe, something is wrong. This journey is supposed to be smooth. We'll not do anybody anything. And the truth dies. In fact, before the truth, the guy started confessing already. Saying, I mean, I know it's causing this thing. You should not worry. Just carry me and throw me inside what? It's like God, they beef me. God, they beef me. I know. They threw him. As they threw him, canoe, smooth journey. They were going. 3 days later, he came out. Do you know Jonah knew you would come out? That guy was stubborn. He knew he would come out. Let me show you that the guy did not truly repent. When he went back there and reached the place, he still said he will not enter the city. Go and read the story. He was now under one tree. Taking fresh air. He said, God, I'm not going anywhere. While I was taking fresh air, God had removed the shade. He still came by and said, I know it's you. Okay. What a man. And to show you how God is loving and patient. I know some of you, when you read that story, you'll be like, do not get mine though. You should also see how God is loving and patient. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. So I had to stop. Because it doesn't change anything. The Bible says, where there is sin, grace abides even more. That's the beauty of being a pastor. I mean, some things you will see, you will hear. Hey! In fact, now I have shock absorbers. There is nothing that I will ever hear from a member that will make me do, hey, chine kemeo! Nothing. Most people are shocked, especially when they come to me. They are in the office and we are talking and they say one big sin. I said, it's fine. So you start praying to us. Sir, did you hear what I just said? I said, I heard you. Should I die? Now, am I in any way trying to say that I'm okay? Bring the sins, bring the deals, man. Sometimes I'm surprised. Sometimes you see me tell the people, but I warned you. You know, one terrible side of pastoring is that you would tell somebody, that thing, snake did there, no touch him, he go bite you. The person will hear you say, yes, sir. Celebrate you, sir. The person will still go to the back and go and check whether there's a snake there. Then when the snake bite them, do not come to you, sir. You say, I should not go there and take this. And now say, let me check whether there's a snake inside. As I check, the snake bite me. Sir, please, I believe if you pray for me, the snake is still you again. I was telling Mama T this afternoon. I said, you advise somebody, you talk, you say I will not do it. Get. Say amen. Don't do it again. Don't do it again. When they do it, the first person they remember. The person that gave them the advice was probably their mom. Mariam, go for him. I'm your mother, go for him. When their head hit the stone, boom, they don't call their mother and say, who you told me to go for? It's pastor. Sir, that man has been a good man. Most times, if you, especially marital advice, let me give you an advice. Your father and mother will hardly, I'm not saying they will not, they may hardly give you the right advice for who to marry. They may be biased. They want the best for you. And what they think is the best for you, it may not be what God thinks is the best for you. Especially, it has to be materialistic. Your father sees the man, the way he dressed with Baba Riga, with kaftan. He's a responsible man, married. Meanwhile, God knows that's a thief. They have used kaftan and deceived many girls. Kaftan and sideburn and carving and beards. And the man look responsible. Your dad would just say, that's the kind of man I want. Of course, all of you that carry her to go and marry, you should not be married to. You don't even have a place. I know some people say, hey, pastor is talking for us that leave dreadlock to go and... Why will you carry dreadlock you want to go and marry? I know some people are looking at me. It's true. The father should pursue you. Because if you want to be serious with your life, you can't carry dreadlock and say, I want to marry your daughter. Even you as a man, will you trust a man with dreadlock to marry your own daughter? Even people with dreadlock will doubt people with dreadlock. It's not like it's a sin, but why do you have dreadlock? It's true. But as you are there, you know, one time I had an experience. This wonderful lady I was raising, she brought this man, working class man, fine man. I understood why she liked the man. I mean, I just had to understand. He was so fine. And not like he was really fine. Or I was even embarrassed that she was even falling, because he's not that fine like that, but he was fine. And she started asking me questions prior to that, to the time she brought him. Sir, can God give you a man that does not really think like you, not really a believing man like that? But he's a Christian, but he's not strong in the Christianity. Go straight to the point. Talk what you his belief. So he doesn't really believe in God like that, but he's a good man. How can somebody not believe in God and be a good man? Nobody is more good than God. If you must be good, you must first know God. If you don't know God, you cannot be good. If you are good before knowing God, that's just a time bomb waiting for an explosion. That's it. Some women will say, when I married my man, he was a good man. Very good man. I don't know, 2 years later when he traveled to Benin or Warri, he just changed. When they posted him, he changed. He does not pick my God again. They catch him in Warri. I know that you have seen there. You have seen a lady that looks like you. And you cannot be there. And he has been a good man. You think you have, without the Holy Spirit, you can be a good man for long? You cannot. By strength shall no man what? Prevail. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot be a good man. You don't have what it takes to be a good man. You are a fine man. You have beards. They now rub your cheek 3 times. You did not for first time, 2 times. Ask Samson. First time he lied, use her head. Second time, do you know Samson knew they wanted to use his head? He was still playing along. He knew. He lied. Second time, he lied. Third time, she came with very fire. She came more stronger. What she wore that day, it burgered something. And when she rubbed his beard much, more stronger, something he don't know when he said, not my hair. This hair, not him. By strength shall no man prevail. That's when I see young men saying, I'm optimistic. I don't cheat. I'm not a Christian. I'm not a strong person, but I can't cheat on a woman. See, that's not my character. I'll be like, clanging cymbal. No. See, I'm just saying, I know myself. See, I'm not a strong Christian, but I'm better than many Christians. I've seen Christians that steal government money, but I tell you, I can't steal. Give him 2 years. See, he has not seen the money that really entices him. Satan will create a situation like this. You fall. And truly, some have a good intention. But they promise you to kill your... They just send you a message that your son goes to Zozo school. And he always comes back with this blue car from your driver. Now, tomorrow afternoon, if you don't sign that document for us to continue that political move, we will take your son out. How many good men will not sign? They've described your son. In fact, they are describing you in your bedroom when you are reading the message. Say, now you are wearing a black shirt and you are reading the message we have sent to you. How many good men can say, okay, no problem? It takes more than all of that, your goodness, to be able to be good for the Holy Spirit. You need the anointing to be good. The Bible says, how that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and what? Then he went around what? Let me tell you, a better good is... The good we know as good for most people is to carry food and go and give people on wheelchair. That's good to an extent. But the good Jesus did was not to share rice. Read your Bible. He healed all that were oppressed. All that were sick. Meaning that the good testimony for us as Christians is not that we went to one place and people were hepatitis patient, cancer patient, and we were sharing garri and rice for them. Now, there's a place for that. But imagine they heard that the prayer department went to so-so hospital that had cancer patient, HIV, and they were laying hands on all of them and they were all healed. The man at that gate, beautiful. He had always been begging. If Peter had given him 20 naira, he would have said, thank you. He would call Peter a good man. But Peter told him, silver or gold, I have not. Peter was more good than anybody that came there that day. All the years, nobody showed that man kindness like Peter. He would have been there begging all of his life. But Peter said, I may not have money, but it doesn't take only money to show goodness. I don't know that you get what I'm trying to say. Some of you that think that man must have money this young Christian is not giving me money and he says he wants to marry me. He's not a good man, he's a greedy man. He may be a good man. He may not have silver and gold yet, but he has something that he can use to express goodness more than silver and gold. Young ladies, are you listening to me? If we must save a generation and keep us on track, if we must save this fire for the next generation, we must have the right peers. You must understand that standing with God is also marrying the right man. You must understand this. Peter held the woman. That's what the Bible said. Sorry, he held the man at the gate, beautiful. He says, stand up and walk. Although I don't have silver nor gold. The man stood up and started walking and giving God all praise. He would have been begging every day. But Peter restored that man. God has restored that man through Peter. Back to a state where he can go and start a family and become a big man tomorrow. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Own a factory. He was sound in health. You are bigger than just a man, man. How can Peter say, such as I have? Are you the one that created healing? No, some of us may look at Peter and say, this Idoma man or this Steve man or this, what did he have? Who give up? The Bible said that enemy has come but to steal, kill, destroy, but Jesus has come that we may have life, not just life, life in abundance. You have so much life, you can dish out this life. You don't think of bad things around you, they can't happen around you. The Bible said the expectation of the righteous. Don't just sit down and say, I'm a Christian. Have expectations about life. There are some things you have already put the mark for Satan year to year. You can't do anything. Have expectations. You must create expectation from knowledge. You know you are God's righteousness. Don't expect yourself to sin. If you expect yourself to sin, you will sin. Such as I have, Peter says, such as I have, I give unto you. Rise up and walk. Rise up. So powerful. The man did not even rise up. He took his hands. He said, I know what I'm saying. Stand up and walk. And he walked. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. That's what we're talking about. How can you be in a house and your mother has cancer? How? How dare she have cancer? Are you listening to me? They say your mother has cancer of this, cancer of that. She's dying, she's decaying. You are in that house. You must be angry and stop certain things. Paul told the church, he said, be angry and stop sin. You can be angry and stop sickness. Look at now. You've been paying. Your mother, you know, sometimes they drain you of your finances. That's a devil. That's how he steals. And of course, you can't stop giving. As long as you don't want to be anointed, your money will be going. There's always a price to pay. And sometimes you can pray and have no faith, except you really stay on the word. I was reading the story one time and I checked of that woman with the issue of blood. You know what the Bible says somewhere that hit me? It says she said to herself. That's how faith is. The Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. Paul says singing to yourself, making melodies in your heart with one another. Talking to yourself. I am who God says that I am. Born of God, overcome the world. The greater one lives. That's how you talk to yourself. She said to herself, if I can touch, it happened. You see that? She said to herself, you can tell yourself, I will not sin. Faith is personal. From today, I stop being addicted. I refuse to. From today henceforth. You know, the Bible said there is no temptation that has come before us beyond our ability to overcome. Meaning we should be expectant to overcome it, even though we don't see the end yet. The mountain may be so overwhelming, but we know we must overcome it. Firstly, we know the technology within us. The greater one lives in us. We are born of God and have overcome the world. Why? Because greater is he that is in us than he that is of the world. Now, the reason why we can overcome the world is not because we had overcome it before and God said, yeah, because you overcome it, then you can overcome it again. No, it is because we are born of God. For that reason, but on the strength of that nature, our born again nature, by default, we had not even overcome anything yet. God said, by the reason of my nature at work in you, you can overcome the world. Meaning, if you are born again, expect yourself to overcome any trial that comes your way. You can. Now, I started by telling you that you are not all of those worldly things. That's why the Bible says you are in this world, the arrangement of the earth, in school, in fashion, in tech, in media. You are in all of these things in the world. He said, but you are not of the world. You are not of it. Don't take don't determine your personality, your values, your stature from these earthly ideas. Arrangement on the earth. Even though you can tick and say, I'm a higher animal to pass an exam, you know you are not a higher animal. You know you are God's image and what? Likeness. And that's why there are certain people you don't listen to. There are certain songs. How can I be listening to Jay-Z as a Christian? What am I trying to hear? What am I hearing? Somebody who doesn't know the word of the Lord is determining the songs that get into my system. It's not condemnation. You are not okay. We're not condemning them. There are certain people you cease listening to. Henceforth, because you are the new light of the world, the light, definite. You are the light of the world. Are you listening to me? The light of the world. Say, Pastor, what if I have some sickness on my body? Take it out. We are life-giving spirit. You can't be giving what you don't have for yourself. You know, I told somebody, I said, "You, there's a way you pray. Satan listens to what you are saying. He's listening. Everything against my life. Satan knows that you are giving him permission against your life. The Bible had said, if God be for you, who can be against you? No, but you just made him to be aware that you don't understand the meaning of if God be for you. No wonder Paul told them in the book of Acts. He said, you write to the Lord Most High, blah, blah, blah. But you don't even know the meaning. Do you know that word, that part of scripture in Acts 17 that says, in him we live, breathe, and have our being? It was not Paul that was saying it. Paul was saying that he saw that they wrote that in him they live, breathe. I said, but they don't even understand. We now are using it. The religious people wrote it. They don't understand it. Just that they are in church on Sunday. I believe in God. whatever. But they don't know the meaning. Then you say you are born of God. They say, no. It's when we get to heaven. When we get to... That's somebody that said the creed. Are you listening to me? He said they worship me with their mouth, but their hearts are what? Far. Far away from me. You tell yourself, I refuse to be sick. Christianity is supposed to profit you very well. Are you listening to me? It's supposed to profit you very... You can't be a Christian and die of sickness. Or your mother die of sickness. You know, some people want to be careful about it. Make I no come talk. Make something come up. Make come be like, say, my faith. No! Be bold about it. He has said so that we may what? How you take out fear is by speaking out boldly. Let me tell you something you don't know. Most of you grew up in certain streets or areas, maybe street life like me. If you are scared, the enemy can sense that you are scared. And if you are scared, he will deal with you. It's people that are scared, all right, they are always taken for granted than people that are confident. And that's why God said, I have not given you the spirit to fear again. He knows that when you get scared, Satan will take advantage of you. Even people will take advantage of you. That's why in this world, nobody will ever figure out I'm scared. I am only respectful. I am never scared. So when I observe somebody thinks I'm scared, I correct the impression that I'm not scared. I'm only being respectful. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Because if you think I'm scared, you will start going under the influence of the devil to do something stupid. That's what the Bible says, those who through fear for Satan were held captive by the devil. Maybe it was fear that made them subjected them under the captivity of the devil. So fear for sin is faith for Satan to cause you to sin. Fear for sin is faith that you understand that Satan has the potency to cause you to sin. So people with sin consciousness, they suffer from a lot of addiction and sin and so many problems in this world. Sin consciousness. I don't want to sin. Please help me, Lord. That's a stupid prayer. The Bible said you are born of God, overcome the world. You can never be a subject to sin because you're not under the law but under grace. How comes that you think, God, come and help me not? No! You tell yourself, I can't sin. Because everything that it will take for you not to sin, the Bible says it has been done for you. Why do you think he said these words in Romans 6 and 12? Let's see it briefly. I knew where I was going to. I've not forgotten. Romans 6 and 12. It says, therefore do not let sin. You see that? Is in you, do not let sin reign on your mortal bodies, so that you obey its lusts and passions. Wow, we have the right, we have the power not to allow sin. The devil is bringing a useless thought. You tell him, get out. Because he doesn't have the power to carry your hand and cause you to sin. He will suggest it. But there's a superior knowledge on our inside. Is that the law of the spirit of life in Christ? It has made me free from the law of what? Sin and death. A higher law. The law in Christ, and we're in Christ. If anybody be in Christ, is a what? New creation. Because he lives by a higher law. Higher experiences. Higher life. So I'm above only. Never be next. That's what the Bible says. Look at verse 14. It then says, In verse 14, it says, therefore, for sin will no longer have the master over you. Sin will no longer be a master over you. Oh, I love it like this. Since you are not under the law as slaves, but under unmerited grace, as recipients of God's favor and mercy. Meaning when you switch to human effort, sin will have dominion over you. If you switch to human effort, law, human effort. Remember Romans 10. They being ignorant of God's righteousness, have created another righteousness for themselves. Law simply means doing it by your own ability, by a wrong means. That's why the Bible said, if the first covenant had worked out, it couldn't work out. It's not possible. That's why God gave us a superior covenant. Because he didn't even start the first one. He was teaching in the old covenant, but they took it as a covenant. Meanwhile, he was teaching. It was a schoolmaster to prepare people for university, more like Remedias. But they took it as a valid system. And Satan now strengthened those ideas and religiosity. That's why Paul came again in Romans 10 and said, pray for Israelites. They are taking those things that are supposed to be schoolmasters for the original. He said, pray for Israel to be saved. Pray for them to be saved. If it dwells in you, he will give life. Does it dwell in you? He has given life. If it dwells in you, he will give life. He is in you. He has given the life. Meaning, the Bible is saying, if he just gets on your inside, there will be life. Life down to your mortal body. Oh, there's life in my mortal body. And it's just not my normal human life. It's the life of the Holy Spirit. It's the life of God. It has infused my body. Will give life to your mortal bodies. Oh my God. Through his Spirit who dwells in you. Glory. That's why verse 12. He said, on the strength of this, with what he has done, for you filled with the Holy Ghost. Remember Romans 6:6. Can I show you briefly? See what the Bible says. It said that old nature without the Holy Spirit. So the new nature is with the Holy Spirit. And this new nature with the Holy Spirit, there's a consequence. The Holy Spirit has given what? Life to our mortal body. Remember the tale of Romans 6. He said he has taken away the old body of sin. How? When the Holy Spirit got on our inside, he replaced that weakness with strength. So now let the weak say, I'm what? Let the poor say, I'm what? Say, I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I have all of God's ability working on my inside. Because he gave back to me. Ephesians 6. It said, be imitators of God. Is it 5:1? It said, be imitators of God. That was not a mistake. Be imitators. Meaning, look at God. Get your characteristics. They that trust in the Lord shall be like trees planted by the riverside. 17:5, they said. Let's see it. Jeremiah. Or maybe we'll start from verse 7, because this one just said, for he shall. So it said, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. Hallelujah. Next part of scripture. It then says, verse 8, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when it comes. But its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Listen to these words. Which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when it comes. Will not fear. But if they can break the gate, they can take people. They have the probability to kill a lot of people in the city. So if you want your city to be so strong, the Bible even says it, let your gate be very strong. The best materials are used on the gate. God is saying that the gate of hell will not prevail against the church. Meaning the whole strength of hell. The whole strength of hell. They will be trying, but the church will not notice. Because when heat comes, we'll not fear. We don't fear when heat comes. Meaning that somebody is threatening you, you don't fear. If you fear, he will prevail. You will die tomorrow. Then you go back home. Oh, blood of Jesus. Holy Ghost fire. You will die tomorrow. You'll be shocked. You may wake up in heaven doing blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus. Because your prayer was poured from fear. See, it's all mind game, mind. This thing is a mind thing, oh. I know what I'm telling you. It's in the mind, oh. This victory is in the mind. There's a book Joyce Meyer wrote, The Battlefield of the Mind. If you are defeated in your mind, you'll be defeated in your life. Dear beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul. If you prosper in your mind, you prosper in your life. As a man thinketh in his, so is he. That's why the greatest battle you fight is in your mind. Your belief system. Satan is trying to alter your belief system. He has entered into religion to give us false doctrine because he knows that as long as we see things from wrong perspective, then he's affecting the church. The church may be thinking they are making progress, but they are following him at the back. Like a dog on a chain. No wonder, Matthew 15:9, in vain they worship me because they take for doctrines the teachings of men. They take for doctrines so their worship is in vain. I mean, whatever they are doing, thinking they are pursuing God or standing for God, it's all vain because it's not helping God achieve his purpose. Although they are gathered in church. Little wonder we're in a time where a man can stand up and say, as I'm your father in the faith, fornicate before you marry. Sleep with a man. Test a man. Test a woman. Have you seen it? Some of you have not seen, right? It's in the internet. That somebody is telling you that. Because I'm your father in the faith. That's where we understand that fatherhood is a man. At that point, that fatherhood is a manipulation. You don't follow like a fool. I have a spiritual father, and one day he tells me, Pastor, I have 3 women I'm seeing now. And I'm having sex with them as a spiritual consecration for the next phase of ministry. I don't need God to speak to me. I will just book the next flight. In fact, I will not sit in that room and book. I will go to the street and book on the street. If I had any bag in that house, I will leave it there. I will enter the bus and fly for my life and block the number. I don't need God to tell me anything. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. If the people are wise, that church should not have members next Sunday. All of them should have gone. But religion is a very terrible thing, oh. That we're in a time and a season that a church will say there's what they call celibate gay priest. And people still went to the church last Sunday. Religion is a terrible spirit. I know what I'm telling you. My spirit of blessed memory said the greatest missile on the earth is not the one Osama bin Laden did. He says religious. Religious missile. Religion, he says, is the greatest missile upon the face of the earth. It has destroyed a lot of generation. He gave an instance. He said, imagine Samson when he killed over 1,000 Philistines with the jaw of a donkey. Imagine and took the jaw into the city and said, let it be known by this jaw the Lord killed over 1,000 Philistines. Do you know, even till today in this church, if we are not careful, you may come and see a jaw here and another jaw here. You may go to certain ministries and there's what they call jaw of the donkey service. Operation kill all your enemies. You may be so shocked you enter some people's houses as Christians. There's a jaw of a donkey. Donkey will be very expensive. That's how terrible religion can be. But thank God for Samson. The Holy Ghost came upon him. The Bible says when he was done, he threw it away. And moved. He understood that the anointing came upon that jaw because he was anointed. So a mantle is not a handkerchief. It can't be a mantle. It's an abuse to what a mantle should be. In the New Testament, the mantle is not a staff. The mantle is not a stick. The mantle is a person, is a name. The name Jesus Christ. At the name of Jesus, every knee bows. And every word has a mantle in the New Testament. The name. Are you listening to me? Very important. That's how you walk in glory in the New Testament. That's how we can raise a generation. Fearless with the gospel. Fearless with the gospel. Fearless with the gospel. They are so bold about their beliefs. They know they can live and reign above sin and sickness. They understand that when they get into any city, if they enter coincidentally, enter a city, the whole city will be wiped out, packed out for Jesus. They know. They understand the gospel is the power. They understand it. Are you listening? They are not following God because of they don't want to go to hell. They are following God because they have shared in his own divine nature. They see life from God's perspective. There is no sin or fear consciousness. They love God for who God is, not for what he can give. That if today God says there is no hell, there is no going back, they still love God. They still will not walk in sin. Because they are sharing in his same nature. They've escaped the corruption in the world through loss. They don't admire anything worldly. The Bible says they love righteousness and hate wickedness. I interpreted it one time to us. I said, what it means is that our love for righteousness has now translated to hatred for wickedness by default. It's not like we see, say, you devil. No, no, no. We love righteousness so much we cannot even give little attention. Just where I love Mama T, I can't think of another woman. It's not possible. So, what's the Samuel? This is a serious thing. Why did you bring that one? This is serious too. But the way Pastor Samuel looked at me last service, it's like, it's a coincidence. I just was teaching, and I just didn't know I was looking at you. I don't like you for no reason. I only like you as Christ likes you. That's the end. I think my wife is more beautiful than you. With all due respect. Just like Pastor Peter thinks his wife is more beautiful than me. Right?
Yes, sir.
Me, ba? Yes, of course. That's where they all end. It all ends where they find love. I Ochanya at that time. This one don't even know that I exist again. Before she married this man. I don't know whether she used that thing on me as an influence. I suspect you now. Before she married Pastor Emma, it's every week, weekend, Friday. Sir, I just want to say happy weekend. I celebrate you. I love you in my life, sir. I said, God bless you, my daughter. She now married. From the day she married him now. Even call, it's me that is begging. It's me that used to call and check out. Ochai, are you there? Now you still marry this man? Forget all these things. You will have your reward. No problem. I now understand. So I will not trust all those words again. Hallelujah to Jesus. That's what it means. You love righteousness so much. You hate wickedness. See, I can never see if God said there is no hell. Huh? I can't ever go to the club. It's for stupid people. I can't imagine myself. So I can't do it. I cannot. It's for people that have mental problems. I can't be there. And they need Jesus. That's why we're here. If anybody thinks clubbing is fun, ha! Have you tried praying in the spirit? You are drunk in the spirit before. Who told you it's hard? Do you know when I hear people running from prayer meetings, I'm on my back. Maybe the one you go, that you'll be seeing 20 vision and pray 2 minutes. Not that, the one you are lost in the glory. You know, there are some, they go, they'll just be seeing visions. They will not even have time to pray. I see. Shut up and pray, my friend. We are here to build our faith. What are you saying? Hallelujah to Jesus. Be drunk in the spirit. Allow him. He's in the spirit. You are drunk in the spirit. Paul says, speaking to yourself and sound, making melodies in your heart. Then he said, with one another. Sometimes I'm driving in my car. Immediately you start singing in the spirit, you notice, you feel like the Holy Spirit wants to pour away from your. Have you noticed that thing? You just do Libra Hassa. And suddenly you just start singing songs. You just start making the right. You just feel like he wants to pump out of you. Something wants to break forth. Pwah, out of your car. He said, making melodies. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Making melodies, singing sounds. Making melodies in your heart. That's how to experience the infilling presence. The plentiness of the Spirit in you. No wonder the Bible calls it sometimes. It's the sweet fellowship. It's a sweet fellowship. If you have not experienced, some of you, when you hear prayer meetings, is this, you are looking for escape route. You have not started being a Christian. You are a pagan in church. You've not understood what it means to be a Christian. You can't be running away from prayer meetings. If you observe you are running away, run to church. Hey, like it. When we're growing up, we understood early there is no hope for somebody who does not pray. We have to force ourselves to like prayer. I was telling somebody today in my office. I said, where I grew up, you don't have a choice. You have to like to pray. Because if you don't pray, you can't be a Christian. They are timing everybody to pray. In fact, if they catch you not praying, you are cheating them. So prayer is very important. That as we are praying, if you are not opening your mouth, they will report you. Daddy, as we are praying, see what he's doing. Pray to him. Pray. You can't sit down because somebody else will report you. That is, Simon is sitting down. He's claiming like light trance. That we are praying, standing for 24 hours. Somebody is doing. You will not cheat us. We must finish this prayer that we have started. That's how I grew up. We felt like if we're not praying, you are cheating us. So we had to just learn how to pray. That we started creating postures. I remember one of the last postures I learned in Kaduna. The guy just came, he said, I've learned one. He said, this one you can go for 3 days. We said, teach us. He just did like this. He said, this one is 3 days. Try it. Like a joke, everybody just did. We just started going. I mean, we're not feeling any pain on our legs. If you stand like this, but if you just go like, if you think I'm joking, try it at all. You know, some people, they've come for prayer meetings and they say, Prophet Simon, and then they come for a prayer. Because you don't sit down. That's not how they taught me. It's Gargaja prayer they taught me. Which one is you are praying in tongues? You not cross your leg. No! I feel like I'm dying when I see you do that. I'm going. I'll feel like you should kill me. Come and kill me already. How can you cross your leg? Like you are taking lollipop. Who are you doing that thing for? Even in church, normally, if we are teaching, you are doing, I'll feel like I'm dead. Maybe I'm a stupid preacher. I don't know what I'm saying. That's why you cross your leg like this. I used to send Pastor Ed, go and tell that person that I preach good. Hallelujah to Jesus. You can be brave. It's our culture here. You know me. Some are fall. You will still stand up. You will not sit down again. You will still not sit down. They fall in so many times in this place. Carry him up. Take him outside. Give him water. They give him water. Come back. Don't sit down. Uta uta babada. And you must come because we'll check record. Sister so is not in prayer meeting. Call her now. I know some of you are which kind of church be this? The evil person miss church. They call and make it come. Why are you not in prayer meeting? So I don't have to. We will pay. Let me try to round up. Are you feeling blessed already? Yes, sir. Am I hitting the nail on the head? Yes, sir. So that's why we run away from false teaching. Like I was saying from the very beginning. Not about miracles. And the New Testament promise is new heart. Heart of stone. Remove. Heart of flesh. Impute. Little wonder I told us in 1 Corinthians 13. Watch, you may pray in tongues of men, angels have no love. You are. Some people now want to misunderstand love, but Paul got them. He said, you can take all your money carry it, give to the poor. Then he said, but if you have no love. And some of us are asking, which one be love now? We carry all our money, give to the poor. You still say, if you have no love, he said, you are still nothing. Another point he made that hit me. He said, if you can fast, burn yourself, enjoy yourself and say, God, I love you. Yeah. Carry ashes, put on your, on Wednesday and put on your face. He said, God said, if you have no love, you are nothing. You just got yourself dirty. See, lady, if you like, write sign of the cross on your forehead. If you have no love. In fact, God never told us to wear a cross on our neck or on our. He never said that. That doesn't bring your anointing. There's even argument that the cross is not like. If you go and hear different argument, that's why me, I told them, don't take your cross, don't worry. Let's just have it that Jesus was on the hung on the tree. People told us his ex. Some people say it's like this. Me, I told them, no problem, I don't want to be in the argument. Have you not heard the argument before? Some people say it's not like this, though. That it's like this. There's a point I wanted to read, and let me read now before we go, so that it doesn't look like I deceived you. In Hebrews 13, Hebrews 5:13, and we go. I don't want anybody to seize your phones, all right? So I want to be closing early now. I heard a wrong report last Sunday, and I know some of you will be happy. I said, Pastor, don't hear something we're going to make us close service. Okay, you thought about it. Wow. So let me end early. All right? For everyone who partakes only of me is unskilled in the world of righteousness. Now follow, please. I want to end. For he is a babe. Next part of scripture. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by the reason of use have their senses what? Exercise. To discern both what? Good and evil. See what the devil said in the book of Genesis 3. Some sort of, he said, you will be like God. That's what he told in Genesis 2. He said, you will be like God. Now, the Bible now said, at the tail end, after the temptation has been fulfilled, he said, now their eyes were open and they are like God. Now, God was the one saying, he said, Adam has become like us, knowing good and evil. So what's the context of becoming like God in that scripture? The fact that they've come to a point that they can tell good from what? Evil. I don't know how people are getting what I'm trying to explain to you. And now, at that point, scriptural language calls that point maturity. See what the Bible says before we go. Please follow me. The Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy 1:39, it says, God speaking through the ministry of an angel to Moses. He said, the little children whom you people are raising, they have not yet come to that point that they know the difference between right and wrongs. He said, they are the ones that will enter the promised land. What is God saying here? He's saying that the little ones who have not come to the height of maturity, because from God's perspective, what it means for you to be mature is that you have come to a point that you know what is wrong from what is what? Right. Are you people following what I'm trying to explain to you? That's why the Bible says when one is skilled in the word of righteousness and his senses are exercised, the proof that he is mature is that he can tell the difference between what? Wrong and right. Now, Adam wanted to feel, Adam fulfilled being mature the wrong way. Now, Adam was supposed to eat from the right tree, which is the tree of life, so that when he eats from the right tree and knows Jesus, then by his knowledge of Jesus, he can tell what is wrong from what is right. Now, let me explain it to you in another way. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. Verse 4 says, in 2 Corinthians 10, let's see verse 4. Very fast media on round up. It said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down strongholds. Weapon, not carnal, mighty in God. What are these weapons? Next part of scripture. He then says, casting down, by this weapon what? Cast down argument and every what? Heighten that what? Exhaust itself against the bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Meaning, when you have the knowledge of God, then you can remove anything that is not the knowledge of God. By the knowledge of God, if you don't have the knowledge of God, you don't have any weapon yet. The weapon is the knowledge of God, the word of God. And now, by the word of God that you now know, you can tell what is not the word of God. Did you people get what I just said? So, because I know the word of God, I can tell you, this is how we fulfill the promise of the New Testament. knowing what is wrong from right. He said, I'll put my law in their heart. God gave us the Holy Spirit that searches all things. The Holy Spirit taught us Jesus. Via our knowledge of Jesus, we have come to a point that we can tell what is wrong and right in life. Because the Lord himself has become our light.
Hallelujah.
Do you people get what I'm trying to explain? So somebody who doesn't know God does not know what is wrong from what is right. Even if that person is 50. It is one that knows God that truly understands the difference between wrong and right. That's why there are people at the age of 50 in clubs. Are you not amazed that Burna Boy at this his age is removing his cloth and drawing all of those things in his face? You who is young filled with the Holy Spirit cannot think like that. You only think he's not mature. But he will, if you tell him this now, he may insult you and say you are broke. Now, we're not trying to insult them. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? Very important. Are you not amazed that somebody who is up to 40 or 50 has several wives? Not several wives, almost seven children. And now he's divorced to the last wife. At 50, you are wondering, what wisdom is that? It's no wisdom at all. Because it's all worldly understandings. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. That is why somebody can have children like it's, you know, it's like counting your poo-poo in different states. You go to different states and poo-poo. At any state you go, if they don't watch you, well, a child will come out. Bible says a man without self-control is like a city without walls. Anything can come in, anything can go out. That's why babies can come in at any time. They can go out at any time. Why? Because they don't understand the word of God. And the word of God is not just morality. When God gives you his word, God can tell you this is what the word will not do. But this is how to come to a point that you will not do what the word of God says you should not do. The grace of God appears to all men, has appeared, will not appear. Now, what does the grace do? The Bible says, teaching us how to. The Old Testament, they don't teach them how to live above sin. They just tell them, don't do that sin. Do that one. Don't do that one. In the New Testament, God appears. He teaches us. The word teaching in that part of scripture simply means to adjust somebody, to capacitate somebody. Programming terms to debug somebody into a person that will not be able to do certain things and can be able to do certain things. That's why Paul, having known Christ, came to a realization. He said, I can now do all things. So, I don't care who you used to be, what the world called you, what you knew from school, whatever, anything you ever discovered yourself as, I have a good news for you today. You are who God says that you are. Run away from all those old mentality. You are born again. Bought with a price. God's own special purchased possession. Full of the Holy Spirit. God says you are perfect like your Father in heaven is perfect. I mean, you are loaded. I'm not just a mere human being. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Say, I'm not ordinary. I'm super ordinary. And say it like you mean it. Say, I'm not ordinary. I'm super ordinary. What am I saying? In essence, go back home. Take off the malaria. Remove that clock of malaria. Pull it out. Go back home. Take away that pain from your body. How do you take it out? Know what tongues does. Praying in tongues, building up your most holy faith. When the faith is built, it is released. When you pray, tremendous power is made available. Power is the ability to do something. When the power is available, then you command. Pain, leave. Woo, glory. Leave. On Sunday, I prophesied something at the end of the service. And at the end, I did something about seeing a lizard, some sort of. And when the person came with the case, I asked myself in my heart before I prayed for the person, I said, how will I even pray for this one? What will I say? The Holy Spirit said, just say, you spirit of infirmity, leave this body now. I'm not seeing it. I'm not feeling it. I just said it. But the Bible says, where the word of a king is, there's power. And that's exactly what I said. You spirit of infirmity, leave this body. How do I explain that? I don't know how to explain it. How did I pick it? Lizard, this, but how did go? We don't know how you came. Get out, devil. Get out. Just get out. No useless questions. Let's try to dig from the mother's side. We don't care. Jesus said, he saw somebody born blind. The Pharisees said, they came deliverance ministers. Jesus, this man was born blind. You're not blind. Who did the sin that led? What altar is arresting him? Lagai. And Jesus looked at them. He said, I don't care. Wherever the thing came from, whether the grandfather sinned, whether there was an altar, whether the mother was worrying, doing one witchcraft, blah, blah, blah. He said, but let the glory of God be revealed. That's all that matters. Let the thing just, let people just, he didn't try to know, Jesus did not try to go into the prophecy to check where the problem is from. He said, eyes be open. When the eyes are open, people give God glory. He said, go back. Satan is not a function. Stop hyping Satan. Meeting of altars, everybody stand on the altar. What reckless altar, stinking altars where people used to pee. Some of those altars today, people are shitting on top in the villages, in bushes. They are where maggots are. They are, some of them are suckerways. And those people easing themselves on it, they are not dead because they don't have a consciousness that there's an altar. It is you that think there's an altar that is affected. Oh, glory, oh, glory, glory, glory. Paul said, I speak to them that have knowledge. Knowledge is power. He said, I speak to them that have knowledge. Are food meant for idols, not to be eaten by rocks? Are food meant for idols? Somebody said, you cannot do great things. Your father will die. Then everybody's worried. You stand up. I said, nothing like that can happen. All of you sleep in the power of the Holy Ghost. I am a watchman. Let me keep angels in major places. Prophetically, you wake up praying in the spirit. The Bible says you have come into an innumerable multitude of angels. You don't say, oh, you angel. You don't need to know the name. You just give command. Are they not ministering spirits sent to the heirs of salvation? You angels, stand at this door. You stand there. You stand there. You put 20-20 around every individual. As you are talking by faith, it is happening. As you are speaking by faith, it is happening. Because you are speaking via the authority of Jesus. In the book of Revelation, angels go in the direction of the word. As you are speaking the word, they are hearkening. They are hearkening. Then when you are torn, you sleep. Oh, glory to God. You sleep with an expectation that if any demon is caught today, will become a Christian. If every witch is caught today, they will become a Christian. You wake up, and of course, you see what you expected. Somebody said, don't cross this line, or you die. You mortal. David said, you uncircumcised Philistine. You dare to stand against the army of the Lord. It's a taboo. You drown. You say, I should not cross. I'm here already. Brother. When people come to me and say, somebody in the village, I used to, it's a joke to me. How can somebody carry two hair, carry one stinking thing and keep somewhere, and blow something and pour one dirty palm wine, and say something and he follows you? How can he follow you? How can you follow you? You who is born again. If anybody be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are gone. And all of your new abilities, capabilities, possibilities are of God. For them to imagine a vain thing, the Bible said they've imagined a vain thing. What was a vain thing? They plot against the anointed one. It's a vain thought. He said, he that sits in the heaven shall not worry. He said, he shall laugh. He shall laugh. Some things are not praise. They are laughing sessions. You laugh them out. You just have a thought that your mother will die. It's a joke.
that must be a joke. You stand up, hey, ha! You begin to laugh. Satan is crazy. You laugh it out. I will never forget the program I watched of Kenneth Hagin and some ministers of the gospel. Sorry, Kenneth Copeland. They told them that coronavirus will end the public gatherings and the rest. They had one meeting, and in the meeting they began to laugh. They laughed for hours. They were just laughing. Lord, they say we will not have public gatherings again. That was it. If you had watched that YouTube video, you think those guys are mad. But he who can declare a thing when the Lord God? Who can declare a thing? Who? Which government? Which officials? Whether they bring corona, this one, but we don't care. Listen, the counsel of the Lord will stand. We are the kind of people that say we cannot die by an accident. It's not possible. They say, why will we not die? They say, oh, I am come to Mount Zion, in the city of the Lord. My life is hidden with Christ in God. Before you see me, you open Christ. Before you see Christ, you open God. Before you find me, how can I die? I can't die by an accident. It's not a joke. I told somebody my testimony. Why I had the first accident. People saw the car. They said the car was dodging all the... It was going to hit a pole. And it dodged. It was hitting it. I saw my car hitting one ant hill. It was going. It turned. And it went and hit a place and stopped. And someone asked me. He said, you are a good driver. I saw the way you were dodging and dodging. I said, yeah. Someone came. Who is the person that was in the car? They were asking me. Because I came out, I removed my money. I know human beings, they'll come and check what is in the car. I removed my money, I put new note. I carried my iPad. I just sat somewhere and was watching the car too. So the guy said, who was in the car? As the person come out, let's try and remove the person. I said, I'm the one. He said, you must be joking. Come and carry him to the hospital. I said, no, I'm fine. He said, this kind of accident, you are fine. Look at the car. You must not be fine. I said, sir, I said, I'm fine. Before I know, they've called road safety. Under 5 minutes, they came. They said, this is the person. Hold his hand. I said, well, what can they mean now? I'm fine. My neighbor said, you are not fine, sir. Let's just go. I told him I'm fine. In the night, he said, the pain will start around 1 a.m. Around your chest region. When it starts, just call me. Just call me, sir. All through the night, I woke up. Nothing. Glory, glory. I remember one of the uncle called me the next day. He said, Simon, as long as I'm alive, you will not die. I said, as long as I'm alive, it's you that will not die. Come protect me. Who are you? Some of you will accept those things. Putting your hands in the hand, your life in the hands of idols. As long as in this family, nothing will happen to you. It's you that I'm protecting. I know who is my protector. It's God Almighty. Are you here tonight? This is how you think as a child of God. See, Pastor Simon does not hype Satan at all. There's nothing in Satan to admire. Be on your feet. There's nothing in Satan to hype. He's a non-entity. Lift your hands and give God praise. Hallelujah to the Lamb. We've won the victory. Hosanna to the Lamb. We overcame. Hallelujah to the Lamb. We've won the victory. Hosanna to the Lamb. We overcame. Hallelujah to the Lamb. We won the victory. Hosanna to the Lamb. We overcame. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
overcame.
We walked before we began.
I overcame.
Hallelujah. You are born of God and have overcome the world already.
I won the victory. Hosanna to the Lamb.
Woo.
I overcame.
The Lord just told me that the sick are beginning to be healed already. Lift your hands, everybody, and worship the Lord. Just lift your hands everywhere. Lift your hands. I see the fire of the Holy Ghost everywhere. I can feel the fire of the Holy Spirit. Lift your hands. Let your hands be up. Lift your hands everywhere. Lift your hands. Play the strings high. Play it high. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Healings. Healings. Woo. Healings. Healings. Place your hands where you are sick. Place your hands. Time to receive the healing. Time to receive it. Receive your healing now. It's coming upon you. It's coming. The anointing of the Holy Ghost. It's on you, it's on you, it's on you. I can feel the Holy Spirit. The brokenhearted, any case, he's touching. The Lord is touching so lightly. I can feel the Holy Spirit. I can feel the Holy Spirit. I can feel the Holy Spirit. His touch. His touch. His touch. His overwhelming presence. The immeasurable presence of God.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.